One of my favorite verses has been for years is John 10:10. And Jesus says, as the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full. And to me, that's the heart of the message of the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, Jesus could have died on the cross, paid the penalty for our sin, gone back to heaven, and we would have been good. But I believe that he wanted to make sure after the resurrection that we were confident that he was fully alive. Ken talked about the tomb and the proof, the inability of a regular person to come and steal the body. And yet, it was more than just an empty tomb. It was the presence of Jesus throughout those next 40 days to not only talk with people, to walk with people, to eat with people, to spend time showing that this wasn't some sleight of hand, this wasn't some fluke, but this really was Jesus fully alive. And while I could spend a lot of time talking about Jesus being fully alive, I think the greater purpose, the greater point in knowing that is that because he's fully alive, we also can be fully alive. I was thinking this morning as I worked my way through the crowd and there was something missing. And that was that hug from Oval. And I think each person has people in our life that we see on a regular basis, whatever that is. And we often don't think a lot about it until they're no longer there. And then we realize, oh, that's what's missing. And yet, I contend that Oval is more fully alive now than he ever was, because of his relationship with Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to look at some things that we have that we can hold on to that are a part of who we are as being fully alive in Christ. And we're going to spell out the word alive as the outline for those that may not be familiar with my preaching. I always use a word, or at least for the last a lot of years. And I want you to think about that, and I use that word for a purpose. Number one, it helps me to remember. But a greater purpose, I think, is hopefully that it helps you to remember. The messages I share are always my prayer that they're put into practice throughout the week, throughout your life. It's fascinating as I spend quite a bit of time on social media, and today it's just full of posts that Jesus is alive. And I couldn't help but cross my mind this morning, I wonder if tomorrow we'll be back to the junk as usual. All the garbage and complaints and criticism. Because just as Jesus is alive today, he's alive tomorrow and the next day and the next month and the next year, and he's alive forever. And this morning I want to consider some words that it's probably not a traditional Easter text. I don't often use traditional texts because I think we hear them often and we're familiar with them. But I want to listen to what Paul says about his preaching and teaching out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because out of this, I believe we can understand the importance of the resurrection of Jesus in our life. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 1, he says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. It is by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." And I love this. This is what Paul determined was of the greatest importance to share. that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then He appeared to James, then to all of the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some say there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all others. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when He comes, those who belong to Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You that not only is there a resurrection of the dead, but You raised Christ to conquer death. Not only in His life, but for us as well, when we are in Him. And Father, this morning, as we consider what it looks like, what it means to be fully alive in Christ, may we take comfort, may we take courage, may we have great hope, not just in this life, but for the life to come, as we live life fully alive. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. One of the first things that I want us to consider as part of being fully alive, when we're in Christ, we're fully alive, we're fully accepted. I think we all live times, we've all been in places where we just don't feel like we fit in. That, well, they put up with me because they have to, but am I really accepted at work? Am I really accepted at school? Am I really accepted wherever I go? And I think most of us struggle with that, at least at times, of just feeling like, well, I don't belong here. And yet in Christ, we can know we are fully accepted because we are accepted by Him. Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says, to accept one another. Now that's a pretty big command, a pretty bold statement, because sometimes it's hard to do that. But He doesn't leave it at that. He says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So part of being fully alive is to know that we're fully accepted. Just because we're accepted fully by Christ, then it's our responsibility, it's our task at hand to learn to accept others in that same manner. And sometimes that's hard. As I think about how Christ accepted me, it wasn't because I was good enough. It wasn't because I had gotten all of my ducks in a row. It wasn't because my life was perfect. It wasn't because I had something that he needed. It was because he wanted a relationship with me. And when we consider being fully accepted in Christ, we're accepted because he desires that relationship with us. In fact, being fully accepted leads us to the second part of this being fully alive, and that is the fact that we are fully loved. It's because of that love of Christ for us that he went to the cross to begin with. As he prayed in the garden, he was in anguish over what was to come. He was in anguish for us and for the sin that he would bear. Yet it was his desire to share with us a salvation that only he could bring. In John chapter 13, verse 1, in the events leading up to the crucifixion, it says it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. That's the introduction to the story, the account of Jesus washing the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. And while it's easy to look at that and consider that this washing of the feet was the full extent of his love, I believe it was greater than that. I believe that was the first step into this full extent. But the full extent of his love was what was written. Paul, I think, wrote about it to the Philippians that we should have the same attitude of Christ Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather emptied himself and became a servant. Now, if you look at that word and in our language, in our Bible, servant, well, you know, that's like the waiter that does a good job and you leave him a tip. But that's not what this word is. The better translation would be slave, really. It was more of a bondservant, one who was required to serve on your behalf, generally with no compensation. And the Bible says that part of the full extent of God's love was to come to earth to serve us for our benefit, on our behalf, to really with no compensation from us. It was something that was his love. And when we recognize that we're fully alive in Christ, we recognize that we are fully loved in Christ. It wasn't anything that we had done to deserve it. It was his desire to bring us to himself. Not only were we fully accepted in Christ, we're fully loved in Christ, but we're fully included. And while that probably sounds a lot like being accepted, I believe it goes a step further. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." It's one thing to grow up and to know that you're accepted, that people won't turn you away. But it's entirely a different thing to actually be included. I grew up and the farm that I grew up on, my dad and his uncle and my uncle farmed together and we lived next door. And I knew that I could go to their house and I'd be accepted. I mean, they were my cousins, it was my uncle. I could just show up. But when they would get ready to go off on some vacation or some journey or some trip as a family, I never went. They never said, "Hey, you're part of us, come along." They did it as a family. And when we're in Christ, not only are we accepted, not only can we walk into God's presence through Jesus Christ, but we're included. Fully included. There's nothing we're going to be left out of. God has said he's left us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a guarantee, as a deposit to confirm in us that we're a part of the family. That there isn't going to be a part of the family that leaves without us. As I read earlier in Corinthians passages, there will come a time when this life is over in our own turn. But when it is our turn, we're not left out. It's not that some have a better heaven, some have a better destination, some have a more royal reward. It says, in Christ we're fully included in everything that He offers. There's no second, third class citizens in the kingdom of God. Paul writes and he says, there is no Jew, no Greek, no male, no female, no slave, no master. He says, the distinctions we have here on earth as a Christian are empty. That we're included equally. And we're included equally because of the resurrection of Jesus who defeated the power of death. And so as we are alive in Christ, we're fully accepted, we're fully loved, we're fully included, but we're also fully victorious. In 1 Corinthians, back in chapter 15, down in verse 57, actually going to start at verse 56, it says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody I know wants to be a winner at something. We want our life to have meaning. We want to be successful. We want to do things right. I think it's one of the reasons why every 4 years when it comes around that the Olympics draw such a vast viewing audience on television. Everybody's intrigued by those who have spent years training in order to attempt at least to win. And you see this almost the same joy as those that win a silver or bronze that didn't expect it, as you do those that win the gold that went into it thinking, I've got this in the bag. And then you see the disappointment of those who thought they were gold medal winners and they didn't get anything. And yet, in Christ, we are fully victorious. Paul wrote and he says the sin has been defeated. And because sin has been defeated, the power of death over our life does no longer hold us. He says, thanks be to God that we are victorious. We can face the end of life whenever that comes, knowing that it isn't the end. That death no longer has that hold on us, that we have victory through Jesus Christ. As we consider that victory, we look at the victory that Jesus had over the grave. And it wasn't simply the fact that He died and that He rose again. But it's within that victory that He promises that He's coming back. You see, it would be a great thing for Jesus to have died for our sins, to have risen again and gone into heaven. And we could live life knowing that. And we could say, well, that's a really cool story. But the victory that He promises is a victory that says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to that place. And so we can live life fully alive, knowing that we are fully victorious. That we've not been accepted into Christ because of our good works, and it's not going to be our bad works that keep us away from Christ. He has conquered the penalty of sin if we accept the blood of Jesus as the payment for our sin. And so we live life fully alive. because we're fully accepted. We live life fully alive because we're fully loved. We live life fully alive because we're fully included. We live life fully alive because we're fully victorious. And perhaps the best part is we live life fully alive because we're fully embraced. It's one thing to be accepted. It's even another thing to be included. But it's an even greater thing to know that you're wanted. I love the story of the prodigal son. At the end of that, in Luke chapter 15, I'm going to start in verse 17, as the son is realizing, I'm out here slopping these hogs, and this is basically death. I'm disconnected from my family. I'm disconnected from everybody. My friends have deserted me because I ran out of money. This is emptiness to the ninth degree. And when he realized that, in verse 17 of Luke 15, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father, and I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. I'll pause there for a moment. I think if we didn't know the rest of the story, we would read that and we say, well, that makes sense. That's really all he deserves, if that. If his father's willing to take him back as a hired hand, that's a good thing. That's a nice thing on behalf of the father, but that should be it. That'll make everybody happy. And I think sometimes we get that sense that as Christians, when we sin, when we fail, when we stumble in life, that oh, if God will just let me sneak in and sit in the back and just kind of tag along, I'll be happy and he'll be happy and everybody will be happy. And yet that's not living fully alive. When we live fully alive, we experience what this son experienced. In verse 20 of Luke 15, he says, so he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. And that's a picture of what God does for us. When we are in that same position, when we come to our senses and say, I'm going back to the Father. When we say, I can't live like this any longer. When we decide that anything, I love that David would write, he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than anything else. When we come to that position, we approach God, and when we're fully alive in Christ, we find ourselves fully embraced. He's not willing to say, okay, you can be a hired hand. You can slip in as a servant. You can slide in, and as long as you remain useful, you can stay. No, when we come to Christ and say, I've sinned against heaven and against you, He says, He comes running with open arms. And we can live fully alive knowing that we're fully embraced by a Father who loves us more than anything. You see, because of Jesus, we don't have to live life half dead. As I prepared this message and prepared for this, I kind of ended up with two outlines in my mind and struggled for a while on which one to share. And the one that I didn't bring was a title, No Longer Dead. And I decided that fully alive sounded more positive. But there's so much truth in that. We are fully alive because we're no longer dead. And because we're no longer dead, we ought to live like we're fully alive. And I think many times we live life as Christians knowing we're no longer dead, but still living like we're at least half dead. We've lost sight of the abundant life that Jesus promised to bring. You see, it's an incredible thing to wake up on Resurrection Sunday and celebrate Jesus. And people feel fully alive because they know this is the day that we remember the resurrection of Jesus. But how much of a greater thing would it be in your life and in my life if tomorrow we woke up and said in our heart, in our mind, today I'm going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And then we did it the next day, and the day after that, and the continuing days after that. You see, the resurrection of Jesus, while it was a one-time single event, it's the message of that that Paul says, I'm going to preach as the thing of the most importance. That Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again on the third day and appeared to many as witness, as proof that He was fully alive. And because Jesus is fully alive, we have the ability day in and day out, wherever we are, under whatever circumstances we live, to live fully alive in Christ. And it's my prayer that each one of us would go out and every day remember that we're fully accepted. We're fully loved. We're fully included. We're fully victorious. And we're fully embraced by a God that loves us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that Jesus is indeed fully alive. That He not only took the punishment for our sin and spent those nights in the tomb, but He rose from the dead and appeared to many as proof that He is indeed fully alive. And Father, I thank You because of our life in Christ that we too can live fully alive. I pray that You would help each one of us here today to remember the celebration that we experience today of the resurrection of Jesus. And we carry that forward into every day that You give us breath. So, Father, that it's not just today that we recognize Jesus as being fully alive, but it's every day. So, Father, it's not just today that we feel fully alive, but it's every day that we live in Christ that we know. Father, may You continually embrace us with Your love, that we would share that. May You remind us constantly that the purpose for our being fully alive is not just for our benefit, but it's so that we can share that life with others. May You help us to make the most of every opportunity that You give us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.